Hi, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Sukkah daf vav. We left off daf hamma beis towards the bottom of the yamud. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored anonymously by friends of Rabbi Dr. Brian Galbert in commemoration of his second yahrzeit, Rav Baruch Tzvi and Ruvein Nasson. The Kornel of Rachas and Shama Shadav and Aliyah and the schus of all of our learning. And it's also sponsored by Rabbi Meir Bruckheimer in honor of completing Maseches Yoma and commencing Maseches Sukkah. We wish Meir Bruckheimer a mazel tov on his siyum of Maseches Yoma and continued hatzlacha in his learning. And we thank everybody for their sponsorship and support of the shiur. So today we are going to be talking about a lot about shiurim and how shiurim are a halacha lemoshe mi halacha lemoshe mi Sinai, and that's going to comprise the most of the daf. Actually, the reason that we're talking about this is, you recall yesterday, just to set the table, we were trying to figure out the source for the 10 tefachim of airspace that is required underneath the schach. We had spoken at first initially in the Masechta about a sukkah which is higher than 20 yamas, so the psul and the schach if it's too tall, and then we started talking about the psul and the schach if the sukkah is too little, if the sukkah is too short. And we had said that there has to be at least 10 tefachim of airspace underneath the schach. At first we thought it was a din in mechitzos, because a mechitza has to be 10 tefachim high, and if the schach is lower than 10 tefachim off the ground, the walls aren't going to be 10 tefachim high, and therefore the walls are not going to constitute legitimate mechitzas. Then yesterday we were saying, no, we could prove it from the kruvim. Why? Because the aron, including the kaporis, was 10 tefachim tall, and we know that there was a 1-3 ratio between the height of the kruvim and the height of the structure. We brought that down from the Beis HaMikdash, where the Beis HaMikdash was 60 yamas and 30 yamas, and the kruvim was 10 yamas. And then we said the Mishkan was 60 tfachim tall. And so if the 1-3 ratio that the Beis HaMikdash utilized was patterned off of the Mishkan, so the 1-3 ratio of kruvim, height of kruvim to the height of the structure, would have been 20 amas of the 60 amas tall structure of the Mishkan. So the 10 amas of airspace, it turns out, is all well and good if you believe that the Aron is 10 tefachim tall itself, because then the Kruvim are creating 10 tefachim of airspace because the Kruvim are 10 tefachim tall, and we know that Parsei Kanafayim Milmala, that they spread their wings above, and therefore Sochachin Bekanfehen, and therefore there's 10 tefachim between. However, what if you hold that the Amma, that the Kalim and the Mishkan were built with, is an Amma Bas Chamisha Tfachim, not an Amma Bas Shisha Tfachim? So the Aron was 8.5 Tfachim tall. So you still have that 1-3 ratio. So you have to say that the Kruvim cover, that the Kruvim went up to 20 Amas. But if the Kruvim went up to 20 Amas and the Aron is only 8.5, then the sukkah, the airspace of the sukkah rather, should be 11.5 amas, not 10 amas, because 20 minus 8.5 is 11.5. And we said, well, you can't learn it out from the kruvim, but there is the shiurim are halacha lemoshe b'Sinai. And that's what we concluded with yesterday. We're 2, 4, 6, 7 lines up. Let's start there again. It says, the Amar Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, So you might not be able to learn it from the Aron, because the 10 tefach differential between the Aron and the height of the Kruvim only makes sense if you hold that the Aron was 10 tefachim tall, and you're working with an Amma Bashisha tefachim. For those who are working with an Amma Bashamisha tefachim, the way you learn the height of the Sukkah being 10 tefachim and not 11.5 tefachim or not any other measurement is because Shiurin Chatzitzin and Mitzitzin, or Mechitzin rather, are Alacha Lemoshe Misinai. So says the Gemara now, so Shiurim Daraisininu. How could you say that Shiurim are halacha lemoshe misinai? I aren't shiurim do raisa tichsev eretz chita usaora vegefen vetena v'rimon eretz ze shemenu dvash. So we have over here this very famous pasuk that teaches us all about the various shiurim. And how do I know that the pasuk is teaching us about shiurim? Because v'yamar Rav Chanin kol pasuk hazeh l'shiurin nemar. That the whole pasuk over here, all of the references in the pasuk of Chita, Saora, Gefen, Teina, Rimon, Ezerze, Shemen, Edvash, it's all teaching us different shiurim. As follows, Chita, Labayas Hamanuga. The Chita teaches me the shiur for the Bayas Hamanuga. What does that mean? Ditnan, Haniknas, Labayas Hamanuga. If a person walks into a house which has Sarah, so he walks into a house which is Tamei, V'kelav al-Kseifav, and he's carrying his articles, his personal effects, V'sandala v'tavosa biyado, and he's also carrying his shoes and he's carrying his rings, meaning he's not wearing them. So hu v'hein Tmei miyad. So he, both he personally, and they, and his kelim, which he's carrying, are going to become tamei immediately as soon as he walks into the bayis amenuga. And Rashi says tamei miyad below shehiya, without waiting there at all, because it says in the pasuk vahaba elabayis yitma vekulu baalabayis krinamu, because it says whoever goes into the house is going to become tamei, and it's considered as if everything is coming into the house because he's carrying everything and therefore it's all coming into the house with him and therefore it's going to become tamei immediately. However, flipping over to Vav Amud Aleph, Hayalavush Kelav, however, if he was wearing his clothing, and Rashi points out, why am I touching up Kelav to be begadim? Because that's what Rashi says. So if a person was wearing his clothing, Visandalav Biraglov, and he's wearing his shoes, Vitabosa Vetsbosav, and he's wearing his ring on his finger. In other words, instead of carrying his effects, he's wearing them. So the halacha is, Hu Tamei Miyad, he's going to be Tamei immediately. And his clothing are only tamei when he has a shehiyah in the house, when he waits in the house, the shear of kedei achilas pras chitin, it's kedei achilas pras chitin, two loaves of chitin, velo pasa orin, and not pasa orin, because chitin is more fine, it's easier to eat, mesev, reclining, which is the derech achila, v'ochel beliftan, and also eating them with a condiment. And we learned this halacha of shehiyah, of the fact that the shear of shehiyah is the shear of kedei achilas pras. That's what we're learning out from chitin, obviously, because it's pras chitin. It's kedei achilas pras chitin, ochel umesev beliftan. And we learn this because the pasuk speaks about a person who enters into a house, vi ochel v'shochev, says the pasuk. And we are darshan from here that he's tamei immediately because it said in the pasuk also vabal abayis. However, his kelim, his clothing, and his personal effects are only tamei if he waits there for a certain amount of time for the kedei achilas pras, because it also says v'yochel v'shosa. So why does it say v'yochel v'shosa if he's tamei immediately? So the answer is because there's a split halacha. He's tamei immediately. His clothing is only tamei if he sits there and waits kedei achilas pras. The shear of a pras is like 3 or 4 beitzim, and it's not a regular shear of a kazayas, which is the usual stam achila. So it's a little bit bigger than that. It's kadei achilas pras, which is a couple of beitzim. The Rishonim ask that even when we talk about a shear of a kazayas, kazayas governs the shear of an achila. The kadei achilas pras isn't the shear of an achila, it's the length of time within which one has to eat the kazayas of whatever he's eating in order to make sure that that kazayas is all mitzaref to the shear achila. So the Rishonim explained, don't mistake this kedei achilas pras as a shear achila, rather the kedei achilas pras is the time period within which you have to get done with your achila in order to be mitztaref whatever your shir achila happens to be. Usually the shir achila is a kazayis, because as we learned already in Maseches Yuma, in the end of the Masechta, most of the shirim of achila, both for mitzvah and also for iser, are going to be a kazayis. But again, the zman is always taloi b'chtei achilas pras. There is a machlokes, and we refer to this machlokas at the end of Maseches Yuma, but we should refer to it again, because over here, kedei achilas pras is coming up, whether kedei achilas pras is a pras of whatever you're eating, or whether kedei achilas pras is always referenced by pas chitin. Why is there a nafkamina? So the nafkamina comes up lagabe hilchas achilas matzah, because it's much easier to eat a couple of loaves of white bread than it is to eat a matzah, because a matzah is dry, it's brittle, it's very difficult to eat very quickly. So if you're going to measure kedei achilas pras by pas chitin, by regular bread, by chametz stick of bread, so that's a much shorter amount of time than you could eat the pras of matzah. And so it would turn out that you have to eat your matzah in a much shorter period of time in order for the kazayas matzah that you have to eat, the sheer kazayas matzah that you have to eat in order to be mitztaref. However, if you hold that Kedei Achilas Pras is measured by whatever your food happens to, whatever the food that you happen to be eating is, and not by the reference food of Paschitin, then it would turn out that when you're eating matzah, you have a much longer amount of time to eat matzah, because even though it's Kedei Achilas Pras, yeah, but it's a Pras matzah, and it takes people a longer amount of time to eat matzah. Also, over here in the Gemara, when it says that the Shira of a Kedei Achilas Pras is Praschitin, not Prasiorin, leaning and eating with a condiment, ochel b'lifton, predictably there's a machlokas, what effect does lifton have? Do you eat more quickly with a condiment, or do you eat less quickly with a condiment? So that's also machlokas rishonim. But whether it's more or less time, the shear that we learn from chita is kedei achilas praschitin, for the amount of time within which something has to be eaten in order for the shear of achila to be mitztaref. The next shear in the pasuk was saora. Now, what do we learn? What halacha do we learn from the shear of a saora? Titnan, because we learn as follows: etzem kisaora metame b'mago v'masa. If you have an etzem, a bone fragment from a dead person, and the bone is the size of a barley corn, then it's metame b'mago b'masa. It's metame if you touch it. Veina metame ba'ol. However, it's not going to be metame ba'ol, because Rashi points out that the only thing that's metame ba'ol, oel, tumas oel, is a more stringent form of tuma, because it's tuma that expands to the whole room. It's not only tuma if you touch it. The only time something is metame tumas oel is if there's a shedra or a gilgoles or a rov minyan evare adam. It's only if there's the spinal cord or the skull or most of the body, most of the bones rather, in the human body. However, if there's simply a bone fragment, it is going to be tumay with tumas meis, but it's not going to be tumay with tumas oel. So again, that's the shear that we learned for saora, etzem kisaora. Geffen, what do we learn from geffen? The reference in the pasuk is kedei revias yayin lenazir. It's the shear of revias yayin. It's the shear of kedei revias yayin lenazir. The shear that a nazir is not able to drink of wine, because a nazir is obviously not able to drink wine, and the shear of iser of yayin for a nazir is going to be a revias. Now, even though a nazir is usher not only to drink wine, but also to eat chartzan and vanovim, also to eat grapes and the sediment of grapes, and the revias is a shear of mashke and not a shear of achila, so how can you say that the shear of iser for a nazir is going to be berevias if the nazir is usher not only in mashkin, but is also usher in certain ochlin as well? So Tosfos over here says, yes, the nazir is usher in certain ochlin as well, but enechanami, you have to say that only by nazir we have the strange halacha that even the iser achila is measured by reference to the shear of iser by mashkin. How so? Well, you can't measure a revius, you can't measure a couple of ounces, a couple of fluid ounces of a solid, but what you could do is you could put the food into the liquid and you could see what level of displacement there is. So says Tosfos, the amount of grapes or the amount of sediment which is going to be usur for a nazir to eat is the amount that would displace revius yayin if you put them into a cup of wine. So why is it measured by reference to revius yayin and not revius mayim? Says Tosfos, because yayin is thicker than water, and therefore it's less likely, it's less easily displaced. If you put something in water, water is a very thin liquid, and therefore it's very easily displaced. Yayin, which is a little bit thicker, or requires a little bit more to displace the revius. But the top Tosfos of here talks about how the iser, even achila for a nazir, is going to be kashir revius. So that's what we learn now from the reference to geffen in this pasuk. Te'ena, what do we learn from te'ena? Kegrogros, lotzah Shabbos. So we learn te'ena is like the shear of a grogros, lotzah Shabbos. It's the shear of a grogros, which is the shear that you're not allowed to carry if you are being motzim or shus l'or shus on Shabbos. Rimon, what do we learn from Rimon? Zetnan, we learn in the Mishnah, kol kli, bale batim, shi'urim k'rimonim, all kelim of balabatim retain their status of a kli, and for example, if they're tameh, they remain tameh, unless there is a shear of a rimon. What does it mean, a shear of a rimon? So it means if there's a hole in the kli, how large does the hole have to be in order for the kli to lose its status of a kli, and therefore in order for the kli to cease to be Tame. So if you're talking about an uman, if you're talking about a professional craftsperson, so says Rashi, that a person is not going to be able to sell a kli, or a tradesperson is not going to be able to work with a kli if the kli has even a hole that's as big as a kol shoe. So for example, if you walk into a store and you want to buy a pot, or if you want to buy a cup, then the owner can't say, well, there's only a hole, but it's a little hole, so don't worry about it. You're not going to buy it, obviously. But if you're a homeowner and you're using something, so if there's a little hole, so you won't use it for liquid. So for example, also, if you have a bowl and there is the hole of a sheer kazayis, so says Rashi, so you maybe you won't use this bowl to store grapes or olives, but you could use it to store oranges or apples or pomegranates, which is the example given in the Gemara. So for a balabayis who will make use of kalim, even if they have a little hole, so the size of the hole at which point the kli is going to lose its status of a kli and therefore cease to be tamei, that's kashir rimon. Eretz zeh shemen. What do we learn from Eretz zeh shemen? Eretz shakol shiyorei kazeisim. That all of the shiurim, all of the shiurei achila are with a kazayis. Says the Gemara, kol shiurei osel kodaitach hoi kahani damran. We've just been darshaning this pasuk. Chita, seora, gefen, teina, rimo. Now you're going to tell me all the shiurim are with a kazayis? That's not true. We just had a bunch of shiurim which are not with a kazayis. Elei mesharov shiurei kazeisim. Most of the shiurim are with a kazayis. Not all of them, obviously, but most of the shiurim are with a kazayis. And we know that that's the case because most of the shiurei achila, both lemitzvah and also leisser, are going to be a kazayis. There are some who ask the question: why do we base the iser of achila on a sheer kazayis from a pasuk that has to do with the qualities and the beauty of Eretz Yisrael, if after all these things are usher to eat not only for people who live in Eretz Yisrael, but also for people who live in Chutz La'aretz? So for example, the mitzvahs of Achila, which are with the Kazayas, are mitzvahs not only for those who live in Eretz Yisrael, but for those who live in Chutz La'aretz as well. So why are we referencing it only by reference to Eretz Yisrael? So the answer is because we are talking about the shear that of Isser, for example. Let's talk about Isser. The shear of a machalas asuros that one has to eat in order to be mechayev a karban. Now, obviously, you can only bring a karban in Eretz Yisrael in the Beis HaMikdash, and that's why when we talk about the shear achila, and specifically the shear of a chiyev karban, we're going to make reference, or we're going to use a makar from a pasuk that talks about Eretz Yisrael. Now, the strange thing over here is when Rashi mentions this fact that we're talking about the shear of having to bring a karban. So Rashi talks about the iser of chelev, v'dam, v'pigel, v'noser. So what's interesting on this list, if you play the game, which of these doesn't belong? So chelev, nosar, pigel, those are all things that you eat. And therefore it makes sense that the shear is a kazayis. Dam, however, blood is a liquid. And the question is, why therefore is in fact blood usur with a shear of a kazayis? Shouldn't be usur with a shear of a revius, which we said earlier on the Amud is the shear of iser for mashkin, not for ochlin. So if dam is a mashke, why in fact is it usur with a shear kazayis? So there were two answers. Number one, we're talking about congealed blood, so it's not a liquid. So the easy answer is me'enechanami, we're not talking about a liquid, we're talking about a solid. The other answer is that the shear, whether it's going to be usur with a kazayis or a revius, doesn't depend on whether it's a solid or a liquid. It depends on how the Torah expresses the iser. And by dam, even though dam is a liquid, what the Torah says is lo sochal dam. You're not allowed to eat blood. Even though dam is a liquid, the Torah doesn't say you're not allowed to drink blood. The Torah says you're not allowed to eat blood. And because the Torah uses the lashon of achila by achila's dam, turns out that the shear iser is going to be the shear iser of achila, which is the regular shear of a kazayis, and not the shear of a revius. But in any event, what we said in the Gemara was that most of the shiurim are with a kazayis. We're talking about ishiure iser achila, and when the chi of karban kicks in. Dvash, it said, Eretz zeh shemen u dvash. Said Vash is Koseves Hagasa Biyom HaKippurim is the Shir Isra Achila Koseves Hagasa Yom Kippur that we've been discussing a couple of weeks ago already. So says the Gemara, all this was a very long question. The question again was, how do we know that, let's bring it back to where we were. How do we know that there has to be 10 tfachim of airspace underneath the schach? So again, one man Yomar was able to learn it out from the differential between the height of the urn and the kapores and the 1-3 ratio of the height of the kruvim to the height of the mishkan, and the height of the kruvim therefore was 20 tfachim, and 20 minus 10 is 10. That's how you know that the halal, that the space underneath the schach has to be 10 tfachim. The other man, the Amar Huel, that the Urim was only 8.5 tfachim with the Kapores and not 10 tfachim, how does he learn that there's got to be 10 tfachim of airspace? He can't learn it out from the difference between the Kruvim and the top of the Urim, because between the Kruvim, the wings of the Kruvim and the top of the Urim, there were 11.5 tfachim of airspace, not only 10 tfachim of airspace. So he said, well, it's Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai. So, and we said, because Shiurin, Chatzitzin, Umechitzin are Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai. And then we just brought a whole Pasuk, which teaches me from a pasuk in Chumash about how all the shiurim apply. So says the Gemara, so Alma daraisaninu. So we see over here that they're daraisa and they're not halacha l'moshe misinai. So why were you telling me earlier that they were halacha l'moshe misinai if in fact there's a basis for them in the pasuk? Says the Gemara, v'tizbara shiurim miksivi. We darshan the pasuk that speaks about the beauty of Eretz Yisrael and the characteristics of Eretz Yisrael. We're reading a lot into this pasuk by saying chita saora gefen teina rima and all the shirim, the fancy lumdas that we had in the first part of this amud. Ella hilchas and inuva cross machta b'yalma. It's obvious these are all halachos l'moshe at misinai. The pasuk is only in a smachta. So yes, it is true that shirim are halachos l'moshe misinai. There's a pasuk. They're loosely based on the pasuk. We tie everything back to the pasuk, but clearly they are at core a halacha l'moshe misinai. Okay, so says the Gemara. The second thing that we said is halacha l'moshe misinai is chatzitzin. Is chatzitza lagabe hilchos tevila? So says the Gemara. Chatzitzin daraisa ninu. Chatzitza is also daraisa. Tichziv rachatz es bisaro b'mayim. We darshan from the pasuk that avarachat says pesaro b'mayim shelo yehi davar chotzeitz beino levein amayim, that nothing could be chotzeitz between his body and the water in the mikvah. So says the Gemara, true, there is a basis in the Torah for teaching me that there can't be a chatzitza. But if I were to ask you what constitutes a chatzitza, you would have no idea. And that's what you need the halacha l'moshe misinai for. So first the Gemara says that what we need the halacha l'moshe misinai for is to extend the issue of chatzitza, not only to your body, but also to your hair. Because again, what did we say in the pasuk? V'rachatz es bisaro b'mayim. And you're bathing your skin, your flesh, in water. Usually hair is not considered part of your skin. It's not considered part of your body. And therefore, if we're going to say that a chatzitza, the halachos of chatzitza apply even to your hair if you're in the mikvah, that we need to learn out from halacha l'moshe misinai. Because tam from the pasuk, I would learn out only a chatzitza on your body itself, not a chatzitza in your hair. K'de Rabba Bar Bar Chana, like Rabba Bar Bar Chana said, Yama Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Neima Achas Kshura Chotzetzes. If you have one strand of hair which is wrapped around other strands of hair, that's going to be a chatzitza. That's going to be a chatzitza because it's going to be wound around very tightly and therefore the water is not going to get into the hair. Whether it's a chatzitza and therefore the tefillah is invalid altogether, or whether it's considered that you were tovel your body, but the tefillah didn't work for your hair, that itself is a machlokas, but there is a halacha of chatzitza by hair. However, says the Gemara, says Rabba Bar Bar Chana, shalosh eina chotzesos. If there were three strands of hair wrapped around, then that's not going to be a chatzitza. Why? Because when there are three strands of hair wrapped around, it's not going to be wound around so tightly. And again, the problem of chatzitza is that there's not going to be any water getting in between. So that if there's a very tight bond, it's going to be a problem. If there's not such a tight bond, it's not going to be a problem. Shtayim eni adea. But if there's only two hairs wrapped around, so we gave in the Gemara examples of one hair wrapped around, which is a chatzitza, three hairs wrapped around, which is not a chatzitza. What about if there's two hairs wrapped around? Says the Gemara, I don't know. Good question. Maybe it's a chatzitza, maybe it's not a chatzitza. So in any event, where we are now is the Gemara had said, chatzitza is a daraisa. Chatzitza is a halacha l'moshe b'Sinai. I always said, no, it's not. It's a daraisa. No, but chatzitza and hair is learned out from halacha l'moshe b'Sinai. Says the Gemara, but that's not true either. Saro nami daraisa ninu. Sa'ar, the inin of chatzitza by sayar, by hair, is also a daraisa. Tichsiv, rachatz es pisaro b'mayim. It says es pisaro, and we darshin es hatafel b'saro. That not only do you have to wash your flesh in the water, not only do you have to be tovel your skin, your body in the mikveh, but you have to be tovel that which is tafel to your skin. And what's that? What is that which is tafel to your skin? Umayniu sa'aro, and that is your hair. So we find a way to darshan hair, that you have to be tovel your hair in the mikveh from this pasuk as well. So what? In what respect is chatzitza a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai? Says the Gemara, ki aso yilchza l'chadar Rav Yitzchak. So the halacha l'moshe m'Sinai comes to teach me the halacha of Rav Yitzchak. The Amar Rav Yitzchak, because Rav Yitzchak says, flipping over to Bava Mabez, Dvar Torah Rubo. The halacha l'moshe m'Sinai is that if there's Rubo u'makped alav chotze. So this is a famous en yesodos halacha. That if Rubo and your makbid on the thing which is interposing, then it's going to be a chatzitza. Now, Rubo, it's interesting, Rashi points out, Rov Sa'aro Metunaf Petit, if most of his hair is caked in whatever schmutz, o kosher achas achas, or if the strands are wound one around the other, u'makbid alav, and he's makbid, then it's going to be chotzeitz. So then it's going to be chotzeitz, it's going to passel the tefillah. So now, what does it mean, rove? So Rashi says, rove sa'aro, that it's rove of the seyar, which is mashma, that seyar, that is hair, is measured independently of the body. That even though what may be rove of his hair isn't rove of his body generally, since we're viewing the hair separately from the body, if there's rove of the hair where there's a chatzitza, that is going to invalidate the tefillah, even though it's not considered to be rov kalaguf. That's the shita of Rashi. However, the Rambam says that a person's hair is measured with the rest of his body, and it's not going to be a chatzitza until it's rov kalaguf. The Meiri is even more makpe than this, and the Meiri says the same halacha that Rashi says about hair, that we measure chatzitza by hair depending on whether rov of the hair is covered with something, applies to all of the Ivarim of a body as well. So for example, let's say you have an interposition on your arm. So do we measure that chatzitza by reference to rov of all of the space on your body? Or do we say, well, no, let's look at your arm separately. So your arm is only here, and if you have a chatzitza that covers rov of your arm, that's going to invalidate the tefillah. So the Meiri is most makbid and measures on a limb-by-limb basis, which could become a very big chumrah. For example, we're measuring a chatzitza on a finger. So obviously a finger is never going to be rov of the body, but it's going to be rov of the aver. So according to the Rambam and Rashi, you would never have a chatzitza like this on a doraisa level. According to the Meiri, you could, because it could be rubo makbid on an aver by aver basis. So that's the halacha l'moshe b'Sinai is, if you have a chatzitza which is rubo, covers rov of whatever, machlokas rishonim, umakbid, and your makbid, chotzeitz. That's going to be a chatzitza. V'she'ina makbid alav, ena chotzeitz. And if you're not makbid on it, then it's not chotzeitz. V'gozer al rubo, she'ina makbid. And we were gozer on something that covers rov of your body where you're not makbid, mishum rubo amakbid, lest you actually have a chatzitza on a daraisa level, on a halacha l'moshe b'Sinai level. V'al miyutu amakbid, and we are also gozer on a chatzitza which covers miyut of a person's aver or of a person's body, and your makbid on it. Why? Mishum rubo amakbid. So basically, there is one paradigm. The isur daraisa or the shir daraisa of chatzitza is rubo makbid. And then came the chachamim and said, we're going to be gozer even on rubo v'eino makbid. and miut and makbid. So obviously there's one more category, right? There's miut and eina makbid. So says the Gemara, v'ligzer nami al miut she'eina makbid. So why aren't we also gozer on miut she'eina makbid? So says the Gemara, mishum miuta makbid, because of miut makbid, because if there's a miut makbid, that's already a gzeira. So why aren't we gozer on miut ve'eina makbid, because of miut makbid, which itself is a gzeira because of rubo makbid? So inami mishum rubo she'eina makbid. So he gufa gzeira vana nekam v'nigzer gzeira l'gzeira, now because it itself is already a gzeira, so we're going to go and we're going to be gozer and we're going to be gozer even a gzeira onto a gzeira, and therefore we're not going to be gozer a gzeira l'gzeira in this type of case. Now it's interesting when we talk about makbid. So Rav Chaim has a famous shita that the hakpada has to do with the interposition itself. The hakpada has to do with the thing that's on the body yourself. Meaning, most people, if they're going to the mikvah and they're told, if you go to the mikvah with this thing on your body, it's going to passel the tefillah, then they're going to be makbid on it because they want to go into the mikvah and they want to have a kasher tefillah. Says Rav Chaim, that's not the hakpada that we're talking about here in the Gemara, because, yeah, every Jew wants to perform the halacha. The hakpada that we're talking about in determining whether the chatzis is going to invalidate the tefillah will depend on, are you makbid on it independently of halachic status? So are you just makbid on the dirt? Are you makbid on the nail polish that a woman has to be wearing when she goes into the mikvah? Or a ring that she forgot to take off? So if the answer is that you're makbid, forgetting about the halachic status of the tefillah, then it's going to be a problem. If you're not makbid, forgetting about the status of the tefillah, then if it's a miyut, it's not going to be a problem. All right, so we ask, what is a halacha l'moshe misinai by chatzitza? I thought chatzitza is a din d'oraisa. So we said, yes, the basic halacha of chatzitza is a din d'oraisa. However, the shear of chatzitza is what the halacha l'moshe misinai is. The third thing that we said was halacha l'moshe misinai was mechitzin. So says the Gemara, mechitzin hadi yamran, and mechitza is that which we said, the halacha by sukkah, that it requires 10 tfachim of airspace beneath the schach. So says the Gemara, hani chala Rabbi Yehuda, that's good according to Rabbi Yehuda, who can't learn out the 10 tefach shir from the aron, because Rabbi Yehuda holds that we're learning with Amma bas chamisha tfachim, and therefore the aron was only 8.5 tfachim tall, and there was 11.5 tfachim of airspace beneath between the wings of the Kruvim and the Aron, and therefore he needs the halacha l'moshe misinai. Elul Rameyer Ma'ikel Meimar, but according to Rameyer, who says that we're talking about an amabas shisha tfachim, and therefore the Aron was 10 tfachim tall, and how do I know the shear of 10 tfachim by sukkah from this calculation? I don't need halacha l'moshe misinai, says the Gemara. You're right. But you forget about what we learned about in yesterday's daf. We were talking about all of these halachos l'moshe misinai that would potentially kasher a sukkah, even though you're not building normal walls. So we have the halacha of good asik or good achis, and we have the halacha of lavud, and we have the halacha of dofen akuma, the crooked wall that we learned about yesterday. And all those are halachos l'moshe misinai. Okay, says the Gemara Vayitar at the two dots. Another type of sukkah that the Mishnah said was pasul is one that doesn't have three walls. So when we say three walls, we don't really mean three walls. So Tanu Rabbanan, Shtayim Kilchasam, two of the walls have to be kalach. In other words, they have to be 7 tfachim long. V'shlish is afilu tefach, and the third wall can even be a tefach. Rav Shimon Omer, Rav Shimon says, no, shalosh kilchasan, that three of the walls have to be 7 tfachim long, revias afilu tefach, and the fourth wall could be just a little tiny wall of a tefach. In other words, it doesn't have to be a complete enclosure, rather. So b'may kamiflegi, so what are they arguing about? So Rabbanan Savri yeshem l'mesores, so the Rabbanan say yeshem l'mesores, meaning they follow the ksiv, the way things are written in the Torah. Rav Shimon Savri Yeshem LaMikra, and Rav Shimon follows the Kri. How so? So Rabbanan Savri Yeshem LaMasores, the Rabbanan are going to follow the Ksiv. So it says in the Pasuk, Basukos, Basukos, Basukos. So I'm reading it as Basukos, but if you read it in the Gemara, Basukos, Basukos, two of the Basukos is written without the Vav. Only one is written with the Vav. So with the Vav comes to expand. Harekan Arba, because there are three references to Sukos, but one of them is written with a Vav, so that's counted as two. So 1, 1 plus 2 is 4. So Dal Chad Lugufei. So one of the references to Basukos just teaches me that I have to sit in the sukkah. So Pashalu Tlasa. Now, there are three references left, because there's one Basukos written with a vav, one Basukos written without a vav, Shtayim Kilchasam, so two of the walls have to be Kilchasa, seven tfachim long, Vasoy Ilchasa, Vigaras Lashishas Vukma Tefach, and comes Alokh Lamoshe Misinai and says that the third wall only has to be a tefach, only has to be a tefach long. The Rosh says that Alokh Lamoshe Misinai always comes to be Mekel and never comes to be Machmer. And therefore, if we have three references to Sukkah that we're going to learn the number of walls for, the number of walls of a Sukkah from, then it has to be that when that we're applying Alokh Lamoshe Misinai, the Alokh Lamoshe Misinai is coming to take away from that which we already learned, because it's coming to be Mekel on us and say that you don't need three full walls, the third wall could be even a tefach. Now, Rav Shimon says, "Yeshem l'mikra." Rav Shimon says, "You got to pay attention to the kri. You got to pay attention to the way the word is read, and therefore, basukos, basukos, basukos. Even though two of the sukkos is written without a vav, they're all pronounced with a vav, and therefore, 2 plus 2 plus 2 is 6. Hare kan sheish dal chad kra legufe. One pasuk teaches me that I need to sit in sukkah. Poshulu arba. Now I have four references left. Shalosh kilchasa nasayil chazav agaris larvias vukmas tefach." Three of the walls have to be legitimate walls. Halacha l'moshe misinai then comes to be mekel and says the fourth wall could be only a tefach long. Says the Gemara, viba seima, or alternatively, tekuli alma yeshem lamikra. Maybe everybody says that we pay attention to the way the word is pronounced. V'acha ba'akamiflagi. And over here, we are, and over here, we are arguing as follows. So, and we're going to take away one of the references to Sukkos to teach me that halacha that I have to sit in the sukkah, because that I need the reference for. Mar savar schachacha boikra. One says that the schach requires a pasuk as well, meaning that one, even though we're left now with four references to sukkah, that doesn't necessarily teach me that it needs four walls, because one of the references to sukkah teaches me that it's got to have schach, which is a little bit of a kasha, because sukkah itself is called a sukkah because of the schach. Okay, but one man yamar says there's got to be a reference to schach as well. Umar savar sechicha lo boikra. And the other man yamar says that the schach doesn't need a pasuk unto itself, and if the schach doesn't need a pasuk unto itself, there are four references to walls. Comes Alokh Lamoshe Misinai and tells me that the fourth wall only has to be a tefach. Vibasema, or you could say, the kuliyama yeshem lemesores. Everybody says that we're going to follow the ksiv, and therefore there are only four references to sukkah. Take away one ligufe. So now there are three references. So it depends. Does the Alokh Lamoshe Misinai come to minimize, come to decrease, or does it come to add, or does it come to increase? The Rosh obviously holds like the Man Demer, who says that it comes to decrease, because remember, the Rosh we just quoted always says that the Alokh Lamoshe Misinai comes to be Mekil. Vibas Ema, the Kuli Alma Kiasoy Ilchasa Legroa. No, everybody paskins like the Rosh. That, when the Alokh Lamoshe Misinai comes, it comes to take away. V'yesh Ein L'mesores. Also, everybody says we follow the Ksiv. So there are only four references to Sukkah. V'hocha B'Dorshan Tchilos Kamiflagi. Over here, we argue about Darshan Tchilos, meaning that they're arguing about whether we need one of the references to teach me the halacha that I have to sit in the sukkah. Mar Savar Darshan Tchilos. One says that we are Doresh Tchilos. In other words, we could use one of the references to sukkah to teach me a double halacha. It will teach me that I have to sit in the sukkah, and it will also teach me the number of walls, and therefore I don't need to take away one of these references to teach me that I have to sit in a sukkah. Umar Savar Ein Darshan Tchilos, and the other Mandi Amar, says that we are not Doresh Tchilos. And therefore, we need to take away one of these references to teach me the halacha of sukkah. Therefore, I'm only left with three references. Comes Alokh Lamoshe Misinai and knocks the third wall down to a tefach. Rav Masna Amar, time of the Rav Shimon, the reason for Rav Shimon is because mehacha v'sukkah tiyah letzel yomam mechorev ulamachza ulamitzar mizarem. It's for storm protection. Umimatar. V'osa tefach. Okay, so we'll stop over here. But the point is, the reason that Rav Shimon says that you need three walls and then a tefach is because if you hold like the Rabbanan that you need only two walls and a tefach, then your sukkah is going to be totally exposed on one side and partially exposed on another side. That's not a very effective way of protecting you from the elements. So therefore, if the point of the sukkah is to protect you from the elements, it would come out that you need more walls, not fewer walls. So we'll stop here. Tomorrow we'll talk about where exactly you place the extra tefach of that third or fourth wall, depending on which man yamar you hold like. Everybody have a great day.